Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erevin Daf Dalid. We are holding on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. We fell a little bit behind yesterday, so we're about four lines before the lines get wide on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. We are at Amas Klayim Ba'am Bashisha Lema Hilchsa. The first day's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored Li'ili Nishmas Meir Yosef Ben Avram Allah Vashalom by his children and grandchildren. And it's also sponsored by Sheldon Hamburger on the yard side of his father, Joel I. Hamburger, MD, Yosef Ben Yisrael, Zichrono Levracha, the Neshama Shem and Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we left off, we were right in the middle of a discussion. We were talking about the different sizes of an Amma. So the first thing that we're going to discuss is in Abaye's Shita that we learned yesterday, that there's a difference between the Amas Sukkah and Amas Mavoy on the one hand, which is measured by a 5 Tefach Amma, versus an Amas Klayim is a 6 Tefach Amma. And the assumption the Gemara was working with is that we're always going to go L'chumra when deciding whether we're talking about a 5 Tefach Amma or a 6 Tefach Amma. We're always going to go L'chumra. So we're up to the discussion of an Amas Klayim. In what context is an Amas Klayim being six tefachim, in what context is that a chumrah? So that's going to take us pretty much till the end of the Amud, and then the Gemara is going to present the Shita of Rava, where Rava says, no, it's always an Amma Bashisha tefachim. The difference between different sizes of Amos is how you measure the tefachim. Are the tefachim measured by fists that are tightly clenched, that are tightly closed, or by Amos, by sochakos, where the fists are a little bit opened, like they're smiling, just like when a person smiles, their lips are a little bit open. So like an open, a little bit of an open fist. So that's the issue. Those are the two different measurements of an Amma. Then the Gemara is going to spend the rest of the daf discussing the concept of Shiurim, Chatzitzin, Umechitzin. The Gemara is going to have this comment that Shiurim, Chatzitza, and Mechitza are all dinim that are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The Gemara is going to challenge all of those things because all of them seem like they're dinim d'oraisa. So we're going to try to figure out which element of each of those areas of Halacha are in fact only Halacha L'Moshe Misinai and not explicitly Dinim Da'oraisa. So let's begin again, about four lines before the lines get wide on Daf Gimel and Beis. So Amas Klayim Bamba Shisha L'Mai Hilch. So when we said that an Amma of Klayim, when we're measuring for Klayim, it's always a 6 Tefach Amma. So what Halacha is that a Chumrah to measure with 6 Tefach Amos when it comes to Klayim? So it says the Gemara with two Halachas, the Karachas HaKerem and the Mechol HaKerem. Both for the Halacha of Karachas HaKerem and the halacha of Mechol HaKerem, will explain those halachos momentarily. But first, the basic premise of the entire discussion we're about to have is that there is a halacha that you're not allowed to plant other things within four amos of a kerem. But once you're marchik dalet amos, so then you could plant grains and whatever else you want to plant. It's not going to be a violation of kilei kerem as long as you have a harchaka of dalet amos. However, inside of a kerem, in the middle of a kerem, you're not allowed to plant even with a four amma distance. The four a distance only outside of the kerem. So what we need to do, if you ever want to plant something in an area that's surrounded by vines, is you need to make sure that wherever you're planting is not considered inside of the kerem. It's considered sufficiently separated that we view them as separate fields, as separate entities. So with that premise, says the Mishnah, Ditnan, we have a Mishnah Maseches Klayim, Karachas HaKerem. If a person has a bald spot in his kerem, meaning he has a vineyard with a whole bunch of vines, but right in the middle, there's an empty area where there are no vines, and you would like to plant something else there. So Beishami Omrim Esrim Va'arba Amos. Beishami says, if there's 24 Amos, by 24 Amos, of empty space, then you're allowed to distance whatever you're planting 4 Amos from the vines and plant in the middle, and that's considered like a separate field. That's not considered like you're in the middle of a caramel. Beis Hillel says, no, you don't need 24 Amos, Sheish Esrei Amos. All you need is 16 Amos. Whereas a Mechala Kerem, the halacha of Mechala Kerem is a similar halacha, but not in the middle of a kerem. Rather, it's talking about planting in between the last vines in the vineyard and the fence that surrounds the vineyard. So how much space do you need in between the fence and the last vines in the vineyard in order to be able to plant something else there? So Beisham Yomrim Sheish Esrei Amos, Beis Hillel Yomrim Shtei Esrei Amos. Beisham says 16, Beis Hillel says 12. Say Ezi Karachas HaKerem, what is the case of Karachas HaKerem where you have this machlokas Beisham and Beis Hillel? Hillel, whether it's 24 amos or 16 amos, kerem shecharav emtzi iso, a kerem that in the middle of the vineyard, a lot of vines there's a large area of empty space where there are no vines. Ein shem sheshes amos. So according to Beis Hillel, if there aren't 16 empty amos between one row of vines and the next row of vines, lo yavizar l'sham, then you're not allowed to plant other things in that karachas, in that open area, because the space that's in between the vines is bottled to the kerem and is considered part of the kerem. And remember, the premise is, as long as it's part of the kerem, you're not allowed to plant anything else there ever. It doesn't matter if you're machik tal amos hayu sham sheishas yama. But if you have 16 amos of empty space, then nosin lo kedei avodah. So first you're machik 4 amos from the vines itself, so on all four sides you're marchik 4 amos kedei avodah. So that's needed for the avodah sekerem. The zareya samosar, and then you could plant the other area in between. And the reason for that is because the shear of a sada that's considered to have chashivus is 4 amos. Anything else than 4 amos is not a chash of a sada. It's automatically going to become batel to whatever's next to it. So in this case, to the kerem that's next to it. So we need over here, if you're planting in between vines on one side and vines on the other side, we're going to need 8 amos of planting space. If you don't have 8 amos of planting space, then the less than 4 amos from the middle of your planting space to the end of it is going to be bottled to that kerem, and the less than 4 amos on the other side is going to be bottled to that kerem. You need 8 amos of planting space so that even if you were to divide it into 2, you'll have a sheer chashuv of a sada. You'll have an actual field that's considered independent of the kerem to its left and the kerem to its right. So that's the idea. That's why you need 16 amos. 4 amos and 4 amos for kedei avodas hakerem to be marchik from the vines. So that's 8 amos, and then another 8 amos to plant in the middle. Ve'ezu mechala kerem. And what's the case of mechala kerem, where we had this machlokas beisham beis hillel ben kerem legeder? That's between the vines and the fence that surrounds the vineyard. Ein shem shem esrayam. If you don't have 12 amos, lo yavizera l'sham, then you're not allowed to plant other things there, because the 4 amos that are closest to the kerem are kedei avodas hakerem. So that you need to leave empty for sure. That's for sure bottled to the kerem. The 4 amos closest to the fence is not normal. People don't plant in the 4 amos closest to the fence, so you're left only with a sheer sada, which is 4 amos. That's why you need 12 amos, because if you don't have a sheer sada that you're planting other things in, then it's automatically going to become batel to the kerem that it's adjacent to. So that's why you need 12 amos. So hayisham shtei mesrei amo, but if you have 12 amos, nosim kedei avodaso v'zareas hashar, then all you need to do is leave 4 amos of space between the area and that you intend on planting and the vines, and you can plant the rest of the area. So as far as those shiurim of karachas hakerem and mechala kerem, we're machmir to say how big are these amos, where you need the 16 amos for the karachas hakerem and the 12 for the mechala kerem, 6 tefach amos. These are large amos. They are not the smaller kinds of amos. So that is a chumrah. So that's where we find that using a 6 tefach amos is a chumrah. So says Gemara, but really, is every halacha by klayim going to be a chumrah to use a 6 tefach amos? But you also have a halacha in Hilchas klayim called ritzufim, that if you have a kerem that has its vines planted too closely together, that you don't leave 4 amos of space in between the vines, delekula, where if you were to use larger amos, that would turn out to be a kula. How so? Ditanan, because you have a mishnah that this says in Maseches Klayim, kerem on the 2L pachos mear ba'amos. If you have a kerem where the vines are less than 4 amos apart from each other, Rabbi Shimon Amar ain't no kerem. It doesn't have the status of a kerem, because in the kerem, normally you set up the vines at a certain distance from each other. So if it's ain't no kerem, then you're not going to have to distance 4 amos. Oh, mosquito on the window. If it's 4 amos, then you're not going to have to, you're not going to have to distance say, ain't no kerem. If it's not a kerem, then you're not going to have to distance four amos when you want to plant something else. If it is a kerem, then you have that chumra that you need to distance four amos to plant something else. So when do we consider it that there are less than four amos in between the vines that take away its shame kerem? So to say a six tefachama in that case is going to be a kula, not a chumra. The chum disagree with that halacha. They say kerem, it is a kerem even if the vines are tightly packed. You just view the vines that are in between as if they're not there. Meaning if you have a vine and then three amos of space and another vine and three amos of space and another vine, so don't view it as if you have vines that are tightly packed, just three amos apart from each other. View the middle row of vines as if it's not there, and then you have two rows of vines that are six amos apart from each other, and therefore it is a kerem, and then you're going to need to be marchik if you want to plant something else. So according to the Chamim, this is a non-issue, but at least according to Rabbi Shimon, that it's eino kerem, so now using the six tefachamos is going to be a kula when it comes to klayim. So says Mar Karaban and Damri, havi kerem. Oh, when Rav Nachman said that klayim is l'chumra, he means to use six tefachamos is l'chumra. He's assuming like the sheet of the Rabban, v'ibay seima, v'yolim k'Rabbi Shimon, or maybe he's assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, v'rav amos ka'amar. And in most of the halachos in Hilchos Klayim, it's a chumra to use six tefachamos, but in a chanami, there is the one halacha in Hilchos Klayim where it's a kula to use the six tefach amos. So that was all Shitas Abaye, where Abaye said that the two types of amos that are in play are five tefach amos and six tefach amos, and that's the distinction between Mavi and Sukkah on the one hand, where we use five tefach amos, and Klayim, where we use six tefach amos. Rava disagrees. Rava Mishred Rav Nachman Amar. Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman, but both of them said what they're saying in the name of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman must have just said that Amos Sukkah and Mavoi are with smaller Amos and Amos Klayim are with larger Amos, and there's Machlokas, Abaye, and Rava what he meant by that. How do we measure smaller versus larger? Where Abaye said it's five Tefach versus six Tefach, Rava saying no, they're all six Tefach Amos. It's just a question whether they're Tefach Sochos or Tefachos or Tefach Matzevos, whether they're sad Tefachim or happy Tefachim, whether they're smiling Tefachim or not, whether they're tightly clenched tefachim or not. So they're both saying in the name of Rav Nachman. That's what, in general, when you have two people argue within the name of another shita, so that's what Rashi writes in Maseches Ksuvos, that kind of machlokas, you can't say, elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim, meaning when it's a machlokas about what somebody said, so it's not just a machlokas about a point of view, it's a machlokas about a metzius. So what did he say? What were the words that he said? What was his kavana when he said that? So that's in such a machlokas, you can't say elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. So anyway, so Rav Mishred Rav Nachman Amar kol amos ba'ama bas shisha, that all amos of a mavoy and a sukkah and klayim, they're all six tefach amos. Ela halalu sochakos, but the amos of klayim you measure with happy amos, with larger tefachim, where the fingers and the fist are not tightly clenched. Va'alalu atzevos, and the amos of a mavoy and a sukkah are measured with smaller amos that are measured by using tefachim of tightly clenched fists. So the Gemara challenges Abaye first. So now that we have this machlokes Abaye and Rava laid out there, so Meisvei, we challenge Abaye. It says in the Braisa, Kol amos she'amru chachamim ba'am vashisha ubulvad shalom muchuvanos, that all amos are always six tefach amos, it shouldn't be the amos should not be muchuvanos. So Bishlam al Rava, I understand very well according to Rava that we always use six tefach amos, and that there's just a difference between happy amos and sad amos, happy tefachim and sad tefachim, whether the tefachim are measured with clenched fists or not. So then I understand the braisa that all amos are six tefachim. When it says b'vad shloim mechuvanos, it means that there's a difference between amos of klayim and amos of sukkah and amavoy, that they're not exactly the same shear. Because some are sochkos and some are atzevos. But according to Abaye, that no, not all amos are six tefachim. Kasha, what do you do with the braisa that said explicitly that they are all six tefachim? So Amalach Abaye, Ema amos klayim ba'ama bas shisha. No, he didn't mean to say all amos are six tefach amos. He meant to say all amos of klayim are six tefach amos. But in Achinami, amos of a mavoy and amos of a sukkah are five tefach amos. So says the Gemara, but wait a second, Mami Diktani Seifa, the Seifa that very braisa goes on to say, Rami Shimon Gamliel Omer Kol amos That Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that it's dafka by an amos of klayim that we say it's six tefach amos, as long as they not be amos atzevos, they should be sochkos. Mechal de Tanakama kol amos ka'amar. If that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel shita, then the Tanakama, when he said all amos are six tefach amos, must have meant really all amos, not just klayim related amos. Samlach Abayi v'lav mi'ikar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel de kayik havasi. So Abayi says, okay, fine. So Tanakama disagrees, and I go like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. I know Damri Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, meaning by asking a kasha on me, you're just proving my point because you're showing me that in a chinami the Tanakama is against me. But in so doing, you're demonstrating that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is exactly like me. So I'm more than happy to be going like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that dafka by klayim the amos are six tefach amos, but by other things the amos are not six tefach amos. So Abayi vade tanaihi. So Abayi has no choice but to say that his shita is subject to machlokas tanaim, that he's taking sides in the machlokas tanaim, and he's only following the shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. But the Rava milema tanaihi. Does Rava also have to say that he's taking sides? Does Rava have to say that I'm going only like the shita of the Tanakama, where the Tanakama said all amos are six tefach amos? Does Rava have to say, and I'm against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said amos of klayim are six tefach amos? See, Rava would agree to that statement that amos of klayim are six tefach amos, but his question is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel coming la'afuke amos of a mavoy and amos of a sukkah to say that they are not six tefach amos, in which case that's against Rava? So amalach Rava, Rava would say no, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel ha'asal hashminan. It could be even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agrees that all amos are six tefach amos, not just amos of klayim. You know what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is teaching me uniquely about amos of klayim? That amos klayim lo yitzamtzem, that you shouldn't measure amos of klayim with tefach matzevos, but you should measure them with tefachim sochakos. So that's what so all he's really doing is he's explaining the shita of the Tanakama, that the amos that Tanakama said all amos are six tefachim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says I agree, but when it comes to amos of klayim, you have to measure them with the larger kind of six tefach amos. So Rava says, and therefore all the Tanaim are assuming exactly what I'm assuming, that amos are always six tefach amos, and the only variation in amos is whether you measure them with tefachim atzevos or tefachim sochakos. So says Gemara, v'leima amos klayim lo yitzamtzim. Why does the bama bashisha lemutemai? If that's all Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is trying to say, let him just say that. Let him just say that when it comes to amos of klayim, don't be mitzamtzim. Why does he have to say ba'ama bas shisha? Lav l'mutei amos sukkah v'amos mavo. Isn't he trying to tell me that an amos sukkah and amos mavo is measured with five tefach amos, which is like Abaye said and not like Rava said? So it says more love. L'mutei amos yisod v'amos sovev. No, when he says that there is, when he implies, when Shimon Gamliel implies that there are certain things that are measured with five tefach amos, it's not about sukkah. It's not about mavoy, and it's certainly not about klayim. What's it about? It's about the amos of certain parts of the mizbeach that we call one amma are measured with only five tefach amos. Where do we find that? Dechsiv, because the pasuk says in Sefer Yecheskel when it describes the measurements of the mizbeach hachitzon in the bayis hashlishi in third base of Mikdash, which is going to be built very soon. Ve'elam midos hamizbeach ba'amos amma amma v'tofach. The midos of the mizbeach, the measurements of the mizbeach, the amos that are mentioned in the measurements of the mizbeach are six tefach amos. That each of them is a shear of a small amma plus a tefach. Meaning, if a small amma is a five tefach amma, so that's why it says amma amma v'tofach. Meaning, it's an amma plus a tefach. The larger amma is a smaller amma plus a tefach. But there are certain parts of the mizbeach where we just use the five tefach amos. And what are those? The cheka amma, the amma rochav, ugvul el svasa saviv, zeres ha'echad, v'zeh gav ha'mizbeach. All of those are with the amos katanos. What are those things? So cheka amma zeh yisod. That's obviously the yisod of the mizbeach. The height of the foundation of the mizbeach, which is only one amma high off the ground, the largest square on the bottom of the mizbeach, which is only one amma high off the ground, is only five tefachim off the ground, not six tefachim off the ground. V'amar rochav zesoviv. When you go up further, when you go up further to the Sovev, meaning the base of the Mizbeach is one amah high off the ground, then you have an area that's five amos high off the ground, and on top of that, the surface on top of that is another one amah in, so that one amah in is also only a five tefach amah. Ugvul el svasa saviv elu akronos. Then you go up another three amos, and then on the top of the Mizbeach you have four kronos and Mizbeach that are each an amah cube on the top of the Mizbeach, so the kronos are also only one amah that is a five tefach amah, not a six tefach amah. V'zeh gav ha-mizbeach, zeh mizbeach hazav. And not only that, when we're measuring the mizbeach hazav, we also measure with amos pas chamisha tefachim. So that's where you have a five tefach amah, says Rava. But when it comes to the mavoy and the sukkah and kalayim, you're always in six tefach amah territory. It's just a matter of whether there's sochos or atzevos. But yes, there is such a concept called the five tefach amah. That's reserved for the Mizbeach. By the Mizbeach, there are certain parts of the Mizbeach where the Amos are measured by six Tvachim, and certain parts of the Mizbeach where the Amos are measured by five Tvachim. Period. That's the end of the first Sugya in today's Daf. Now the rest of the Daf is the following Sugya. Once we talk about Shiurim of an Amah, so we'll mention something about Shiurim and its corollaries, Chatzitzin u'mechitzin. Some Rav Chiya Barashi Amrav, Shiurim, Chatzitzin u'mechitzin, Halachul Moshe Mesinai. These major areas of Halacha, of Shiurim, of measurements in the Torah, Chatzitza, Dinim of Chatzitza, and Mechitza, all the Dinim of Mechitzas, they're all Halachal Moshe Mesinai. So says Gemara, Shiurim Doraisa, what do you mean Shiurim are Halachal Moshe Mesinai? Shiurim are Doraisa, Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says in last week's parasha, the Yomi coincidence, Eretz Chito Sa'ora, Pasuk goes on, Begevim Tein of Rimon, Eretz Yeshem Udvash, it identifies the Shivas Haminim that Eretz Yisrael is praised with, Va'amar Rav Chanan, Kola Pasuk Azel, Shiurim Emar. Every word in that pasuk is alluding to a different shear of a different halacha in the Torah, and we go through them. Chita, what shear is there associated with chita? L'chiditnan, the Mishnah Maseches Negoim. When it comes to nige batim, when it comes to a nega on a house, which is one of those things the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, along with Irani Dachas and Ben Sarimor, it never happened, but nevertheless there are halachos about nige batim. Hanichlas abayis hamenuga. If a person goes into a house that has a neged saraas, v'kelev al kseifav, and he's carrying clothing on his shoulders, v'sandav v'tabosa biyadav, or he's holding his shoes or his rings in his hand, but he's not wearing them in the normal way, hu v'heim tamei miyad. As soon as he walks into the house, all of those things become tamei, because the pasuk says v'abal abayis kol yemei yiskiro so yitma adarev, that anyone who comes into the house is going to become tamei. So all of the clothing that comes into that he's carrying into the house is going to become tamei right away. Hayalavush kelev, but if he was wearing his clothing, v'sandal v'raglav, or his shoes were on his feet, v'tabosav v'tabosav, his rings were on his fingers, then hu tamei miyad, the fellow himself is tamei right away. But v'hein tahorin, those items, those clothing items, they're going to be tar, unless they were in the house for long enough that it would take a normal person to eat a pras. What is a pras? A pras is a certain measurement of food, but what kind of food? Of paschitin v'lo pasaorin, a pras of wheat bread and not barley bread, and there it is. Chita. Chita is a reference to that shear. The amount of time that clothing that is being worn would have to stay in a bayis hamenuga to become tamei is the amount of time it takes a person to eat a pras of wheat bread, not barley bread, mesav, while he's leaning, v'ochel belift on and eating with other condiments that will make it easier to eat the bread. That's a question. What do the condiments do over there? So Rashi writes that through the condiments the pas can be eaten more quickly than if it were than if the pas were eaten alone. It helps it go down a little more quickly. So liftan is a chumrah. It's saying that it's a shorter amount of time, that even if it's that smaller amount of time that it would take to eat the pas together with liftan. The Ritva Masechta Sukkah disagrees. The Ritva writes that it's just the opposite, that it's a longer time, that pas chitim is eaten more slowly than pas sa'orim because it's more delicious. So people tend to luxuriate in it. They tend to enjoy it. They tend to take their time when they eat it. Eating besebas also, you're taking it easy. You're not eating on the run. You're being kovei. yourself. And eating with liftan, all of it is that you're including more in your meal. You're not just eating the pas, you're also having liftan. So all of that is slowing down the achila. That's how the Ritva understands against Rashi. Now there is a machlokas achronim, exactly how long this is. What is the amount of time that it takes to eat that is a kedei achilas pras? And this is very relevant for us because we have this when it comes to any mitzvah that involves achila, any isser that involves achila, and when it comes to bracha achrona, you only chayav bracha achrona if you ate a shir b'kedei achilas pras. When you have a mitzvah achila, like the mitzvah of matzah, you need to eat a shir kezayis b'kedei achilas pras. When it comes to an iser of achila, you're only going to be chayav if you eat on Yom Kippur the shir b'kedei achilas pras. So how long is that shir of kedei achilas pras? Is a very relevant halachic question. So the Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, famously writes that he has rayas that it's 9 minutes. 9 minutes is kedei achilas pras. All the other achronim say it's something less than that. Chaznish says it can't possibly be more than that. No one could possibly say that kedei achilas pras is more than 9 minutes. So it ranges somewhere between 2 and 9 minutes. I think most poskim assume around 4 minutes is a shear of kedei achilas pras. That's all if you assume that there is a particular shear. However, the Minchas Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel Osei that may not be the case. Kedei achilas pras may be measured by each and every food as you eat it. I mean, Minchas Chinuch points out, why is it that Chazal never told us how long it is? They just use this cryptic language of kedei achilas pras. How come they didn't tell us how long it takes? Tell me, it's a kedei hiluch reva meal. How long, you know, that they always speak in terms like that. So why do they have to just kedei achilas pras? So says Minchas Chinuch, it's only by bias hamenuga that we measure kedei achilas pras based on pas chitin, and that's the chiddush of the pasuk. That chit is that is based on pas chitin. But when with every other halacha, it really depends on what you're eating. So if you want to know how much is a kedei achilas pras of matzah, how much time do you have to eat your kezayis of matzah? The amount of time that it takes to eat a pras of matzah, and therefore, when it comes to bracha achrona as well, this is a big nafka minu with bracha achrona. There's a big discussion in poskim. The shear for bracha achrona on a drink is a revius b'kedei shtiyas revius. You have to drink a revius within the amount of time that it takes to drink a revius. So, do we measure that based on how long it takes to drink a cold drink, a cup of water or a revius of water, or do we measure it based on whatever you're drinking? And if you're drinking a very hot coffee, you're going to sip it much more slowly, and you're not going to get to a revius till. So Mishnah Berurah always recommends leave a revius at the end. Drink your hot coffee slowly, but then at the end, leave a revius, let it cool down, and then gulp it down, and then you'll be sure that you have to say a bracha achrona. That way, you'll avoid any situation of suffik brachos. But Minchas Chinuch doesn't think so. He thinks that it would really be based on what you're drinking, and if you're drinking hot coffee in the normal pace that one would drink hot coffee, then you would say a bracha achrona on that. Rav Shechter thought that when it comes to matzah, we should be maker like the Minchas Chinuch, that the kedei achilas pras is based on the Be'er Lacha. Mishnah Berurah is not this way, but he thought Minchas Chinuch, I guess, more the pashtus, that the kedei achilas pras is based on each and every food, and therefore matzah's kedei achilas pras is very, very, very long, especially if you hold the shear kezayis of matzah as a large kezayis. I mean, sometimes people have a very, very big shear of a kezayis of matzah, and they're trying to gobble it up within the smallest shear of kedei achilas pras of 2 minutes or something, so that could be very challenging. But the pashas is not that way. That kedei achilas pras is going to be much longer than it would normally take to eat a kezayis, because a pras is way, way bigger than a kezayis. Okay, that's all chita saora. What is the pasuk teaching me when it says saora? Ditnan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Alos that an etzem kesaora, a bone the size of a saora, mitame b'mago masaveinu mitame ba'oel, is mitame with tumas mago by touching it, tumas masa by carrying it, but it's not metame b'tumas ohel, because an etzema mace that doesn't have basar is only metame mago masa, is not going to be metame b'ohel. But if you were to have, let's say, kazayis basar min a mace, then it would be metame b'ohel in three ways. Either that the tar is my hill on it, it is my hill on the tar, or they're under the same roof. There are cases where even just an etzem is metame b'ohel, if it's a shidra shlema or a gugoles. There are certain cases where it's rov minyan or binyan of the bones of a person's body. So a full skeleton is metame ba'ol, even though an etzem Sesora, a tiny amount of bone, is not going to be Mitame Bol, but will be Mitame Magal Masa. So that's what we get with Saora in the Pasuk. That's the Din Daraisa that we learn from Saora. Gefen. And what Din Daraisa we learn from the word Gefen? Kedei Revius Yayim, the Nazir. That tells me that a Nazir is Chayiv if he drinks a Revius of wine. Te'ena, Kegrogros Lotza Shabbos. That tells me that the shear for a Chiyuv of Otza on Shabbos is if you carry something the size of a dry fig. That at least when it comes to carrying food. When it comes to carrying other items, it's based on how much is a chashava amount of that item. But when it comes to carrying food, the shear is always a grogeres, a dried fig. So Hashem says, why a dried fig? It says te'ena. It doesn't say dried fig, it says a fig. So maybe it's a moist fig. So as Hashem writes, that you always have to assume that it's halachal Moshe Misinai. He says two possibilities. Either it's halachal Moshe Misinai, that it means a dried fig, or since the Torah says te'ena stam, tafasta merubalo tafasta, you always have to assume the smaller shear. He says, yeah, but we don't assume the smaller shear when it comes to when it comes to other things. When it comes to a kazayas, for example, we don't assume a dried zayas. So he says, yeah, because that's zeis shemen. Zeis shemen means a zayas that still has oil in it, so it's not a dried zayas. And the same thing with a tamar. It doesn't even call it a tamar. It doesn't even call it a date in the pasuk. It calls it dvash. Why is it called dvash? Because it's the honey that's inside the tamar. So that's how you know that it's not dried in those cases. But by the te'ena, it must mean a dried fig. Rimon, kedetran, that we have a mishnah about a shear of a rimon. That a kli that balabas uses is still mekabel tuma as long as the hole in the kli is not large enough that rimonim would fall out of it. If the hole in the kli is still small enough that you could put rimonim in the kli, then the kli is still considered to be mekabel tuma. Eretz zeis shemen, and what's eretz? Eretz shekol shiura kazeisim. Oh, kazayis, that's easy. All the shiurim are kazayis. Kol shiura sakladai tichva yuka anidam. What do you mean all shiurim are kazayis? We just went through a whole bunch of shiurim that are not a kazayis. Aleima eretz rov shiura kazayisim. Yeah, but most halachos are a din of a zayis. Eating chelev, eating dam, eating nosar, eating pigol, eating basar kachim that became tamei. All of them, the shear is always going to be a kazayis. Eating and even a kazayis min ames being tamei, ba'ol being nogeb of zayis of nevela. You have all sorts of dinim of a zayis. Plus all the mitzvos of achila are a kazayis. Dvash kikosev sagas al yom kippurim, and dvash is a reference to the shear of the size of a date to be chayav for kares and malkus for eating on Yom Kippur. The reason it's not a kazayis is because the lashon of is not achila when it comes to this of Yom Kippur. It's just the lashon of inui. Pasuk says ki kol nefesh lo tuuna be'etzmei yom hazeh v'nich p'samei ameh, that if you don't do inui on Yom Kippur, so Chazal assessed that inui is not experienced if a person eats a shear of a date. So that's why we use the issue of a date. That's why we use the shear of a date. The shear of a kosev sagasa is as far as the chiyuv kares on Yom Kippurim. But chatzi shear is also asinid, even less than a kosev sagasa. Machlokas Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in Maseches Yuma, whether chatzi shear is aser min haTorah or it's only aser min derabanan, we pass in chatzi shear is aser min haTorah. That even eating a chatzi shear is an issur d'oraisa. It's just say you don't get kares for it. So a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that it's not really a big deal if you have a chatzi shear. So like if I'm a little not feeling well, I could have a chatzi shear. No, a little not feeling well in Yom Kippur, you cannot have even a chatzi shear. It's still an issur d'oraisa to have a chatzi shear. So says the Gemara, so you see from here, this is the Gemara's kasha, how can you say shear marol alach l'moshe misinai? I just showed you every shear you know of is based in a pasuk, it's all d'oraisa. So if it is shear michtav ksivi, no, it's not really. The pasuk doesn't say the shiurim el hilchsaninu v'asmachin rabban akrai. So halachal Moshe Misinai, the pasuk is clearly only an asmachta. It's nothing more than an asmachta. What does that mean? What exactly is asmachta? The Rambam writes in the Akdama to the Perush HaMishnayos that asmachta is like a mnemonic. It's an easy way to remember, but it's really just purely a din rabbanan. And the Torah didn't even mean it when the Torah wrote that. Hakadosh Baruch Hu didn't mean that when he wrote that in his Torah. It's just the rabbanan figure. What's something that's easy for people to remember? The Torah. Everybody knows the Torah, so they'll just associate the Dinim D'Rabbanan with the words in the Torah, and you'll make that he'll make that association. The Ritva in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, strongly disagrees. He says that it's minus to say such a thing, that the Torah didn't mean it at all. No, the Torah absolutely meant it, but it meant it to be a Din Derabanan. Since the Torah incorporated these dinim, but not through the Midosh HaTorah and the Dreshes Ben, it's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of giving a wink to the Rabbanan, make a din over here, it's an Asmachta from Pasuk, and therefore a Din Derabanan with an Asmachta is a stronger Din Derabanan than a Din Derabanan without an Asmachta. Rav Yosef Engel quotes a Kisvei Ma'aril that suggests that Asmachta is when the Rabbanan wanted to make a din, but they were afraid no one was going to listen. So they had to, in order to get people to listen, they had to lie to everybody and tell everybody that they're Dinim Daraisa. Well, everyone's going to ask, Din Daraisa, where's the Pasuk? So they say, here's the Pasuk, even though it's not really true, the Pasuk doesn't really mean it. And then once the din became a kubal, they would say, joke's on you, it was really not Asmachta, but now it became a kubal, so now you can't undo it. But that's how Rav Yosef Engel quotes from the Ma'aril what a smachta must mean, which is wild, because that means that the Rabbanan, if you say like that, that means that it had to have been treated with all the chumras of dinim daraisa. Otherwise, everyone's going to call their bluff. That means safek asmachta l'chumra, because otherwise everyone's going to say, why are we being makel in safek if it's a din daraisa? So Rav Yosef Engel himself says that some of the writings of the Ma'aril were written by Talmud. Talmidim of the Ma'aril, and like all great people, they have some Talmidim that are stronger Talmidim and some Talmidim that are weaker Talmidim. He said, this is a Talmud that obviously didn't understand the Ma'aril. There's no way the Ma'aril ever could have said such a thing. It was probably written by a Shvacha Talmud. Okay. Chatzitzin da'oraisa ninu. Chatzitzin is a din da'oraisa also, says Gemara. Questions to Gemara. How can you say Chatzitzin is halach al Moshe Misinai? I Chatzitzin is da'oraisa. I'll show you a Pasuk tichsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'rachatzis Kol Besaro. Pasuk says you should wash Kol Besaro b'mayim shloye davar chatzitz ben besaro l'mayim. And we learn from there that you cannot have a chatzitza between your body and the water. So and then we darshan b'mayim b'may mikva. The may mikva is good enough. You don't need a mayan. Kol Besaro mayim shekol gufo olabahen. And Kol Besaro means that it has to be enough water that your entire body could fit in at once. V'kamahein, how much is that? Amal ama b'rom shalosh amos. If you were to fill a box that was one ama by one amma with a height of three amos with water, then that's enough water for a mikvah. How much is that? V'shira chachamim may mikvah arba'im sa. And the chacham figured out that that's arba'im sa. Why is it one amma by one amma by three amos? Because that's how much a human being can fit into. So it's, the Ramban points out, you see from here, that the height of a human being is three amos. The Ramban is in the beginning of Maseches discusses this in Maseches Bava Basra, comes up in a number of places, but at the very beginning of Maseches Bava Basra, we talk about Hezek Re'ia, how large a wall needs to be between two properties in order for you not to see into the other side. So you need a dalet amos high wall. Why? If a person is only three amos tall, why do you need a four amma high wall? So the Rishonim struggle with this, and that's what Bali Atosis write in a number of places in Shas, that no, a person is really, shoulder height is three amos. He's really closer to four amos, and that's why you need a dalet amos wall, so that even when he's standing on his toes, he won't be able to see over the wall, because he's just under four amos. What about the mikveh? The mikveh only has to be a box that fits three amos. So Tos says, yeah, but when you go in, the water level will go up, because the mass of the human body is gonna take up space in that box, and therefore the water on its own would be a three amos high of water, but that would still be able to, you'd still be able to be tovel an entire human body in that. So says Gemara, no, so again, this is a question. How can you say that chatzitzin are daraisa, are halach l'moshe misinai? You see they're daraisa. So says Gemara, no, kis rechilchsa l'sa'aro. The halach l'moshe misinai of chatzitza is about the hair, that there's a din of chatzitza on the hair. Ukedra barafuna, damra barafuna, nima achas kshura chatzitza. If you have one strand of hair that's not, it is a chatzitza. Shalosh ein chatzos, three strands of hair are not a chatzitza. Shtayim ein yodea. Two, we're not sure if it's tight enough that water won't be able to get in between. So says Gemara, but saranami daraisu. Even the hair is daraisa. Titanya varachatz is called besaro. S, we darshan hatafel basaro zeu seir. That S includes that which is tafel to the basar, meaning the hair. So we derive that from pasuk as well. So where do we find the din of chatzitza that's halach al Moshe Misinai? Says Gemara, ki asai hilchasa l'ruva l'miyuto l'makbid l'shein l'makbid. The halach al Moshe Misinai of chatzitza Mechitza is about the details of Rubo Makvin, Mir Shein HaMakvin. It's Rabbi Yitzchak, Dam Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Rubo Makvin, Alav Chotzeitz. On a Daraisa level, you need both, that it covers the majority of the body and your Makvin about it in order for it to be a Chatzitza. Shein HaMakvin, Alav, Eino Chotzeitz. If it's, you're not Makvin about it, it's not going to be Chotzeitz. The Gazu Al Rubo Shein HaMakvin, Mishum Rubo HaMakvin. They made a gzera that even if you have something that covers the majority of your body, but you're not makbid about it, that it's going to be a chatzitza midrabanan, up to a case of rubo hamakbid. That's an unusual case. Where do you ever have something that covers the majority of your body, but you're not makbid about it at all? Not makbid means you never mind having it on your body. It never bothers you to have it on your body, or that you dafka want it on your body at that particular point in time. So I once had a shaila about a woman who got a spray tan. I thought maybe that would be something that's eino makbid, but it turns out that gets really soaked into the skin. It's not really something that's external to the body. Got a shaila this summer. A woman was in a summer camp, and they have an area of the lake blocked off to use as a mikveh, and she has an allergy to mosquito bites. So they wanted to know, can she spray insect repellent all over her body and then go to the mikveh? So I thought, ooh, this might be a chatzitza drabana shaila. This is a rubo she'eino makbid. Maybe. Al miyuto ha-makbid mishum rubo ha-makbid. And they made a gzeira on miyuto ha-makbid because of rova ha-makbid. It's frankly gemara v'ligzer nami al miyuto she'eino makbid mishum miyuto ha-makbid inam mishum rubo she'eino makbid. Why didn't we even make a gzeira when it's a tiny part of your body and you're not makbid about it? So you goof a gzeira v'anan leikim v'nigzer gzeira l'gzeira. No, that itself is a gzeira. We're not going to make a gzeira on top of that, which is interesting because the Ramah passed in the Shulchan Aruch that the minig is we get rid of any chatzitza even if it's a miyuto she'eino makbid. Even though the Gemara says explicitly we can't make a gzeira on such a thing. Just another minute. Mechitzas da'araisa. And then it says, no, mechitzas are also din da'araisa. Damar mar, aron tisha, the kaporas tefach. The aron was 9 tefachim high. The kaporas that covered the aron was 1 tefach high. Harei kanasara. So you see, 10 tefachim height of the aron. And we know that the shechina didn't go lematame asara. So it must be that's the shear of a mechitza. Says mar, lo tzricha. Le Rabbi Yehuda da'amar, amas binyan bam bashisha, amas kelim bam bas chamisha. That's all assuming that the when we say the aron was an amma and a half, it means 9 tefachim. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, each amma was only 5 tefachim when it comes to amma's kelim. So an amma and a half means 7.5 tefachim, and then the amma of the kabaris would have made it a total of 8.5 tefachim, and therefore there is no pasuk that tells us a din of mechitza being 10 tefachim. And according to Rameir, that all the amos were 6 tefach amos, so then don't you see it's a pasuk? How can you say it's a lachal moshim yisinai, the din of mechitza? Rameir, ki asai ilchasa l'gud l'avid l'dofen akuma. No, the halacha l'moshe misinai relating to mechitza are all the imaginary mechitzos. Gud asik mechitza, l'avid dofen akuma. We're not going to get into the details right now, but throughout the Masechta we'll have plenty of opportunity to get into some of those details. Okay, but the Shom will hook up there tomorrow.